Yeah, yeah. Making her way to the mic. They start dimming the lights. You start feeling alright. From Birmingham, home with the Teddy Longs and the room and stutters. More once you discover. For all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, and Sasha Banks, Janelle Monae, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say, look, I just found a place. Sweet escape, every one of us. I was kinda late, cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the faith, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know I go by Joe or the Resto.
Hey y'all, welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. I know it's been a minute, but I'm back with the jump off and I'm back with the vibes to talk about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. So of course, if this isn't your first time watching or listening, thank you for supporting the vibe consistently for all of these years I've been doing this and even now. And of course, if you are new to the vibe, welcome and thank you for joining the ride, and I hope to continue on this journey with you as we explore the world of professional wrestling during this crazy time. Because y'all, we are on the road to WrestleMania, and there's just so much popping off, even with this week. Like, there's just so much going on, but I just had to come on and talk about it. So I just needed to share some things. And of course, for those who are watching on all of my live platforms, that's Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and even on Instagram, thank you guys so much for watching. I know it's late, but either way, it's Friday night and we are in here, you know, to catch the vibes and just talk about some professional wrestling in a positive way. And of course, if you see this stream anywhere, share it, like it, subscribe to the things and all of the above. So yeah, just continue to do that. I am just happy to be here, happy to be on to talk about professional wrestling. So before we get started with everything that I liked in professional wrestling this week, we of course have to address the fact that yeah, it's Women's History Month and there's just so much amazing things happening. And I'm just so grateful to be a woman in this wrestling space and to be a Black woman in this wrestling space too. And it's just really cool to kind of just go back and forth between Women's History Month and then at the tail end of it, you turn around and then Black History Month happened as well. So it's just really nice to celebrate Women's History Month. And I just hope that you guys have been enjoying my Women's History Month posts that I've been making every day. I've been continuing those through Black History Month on to now. People have been very receptive towards them. And I've been choosing, you know, ones to celebrate throughout the entire month of March. So I hope you've been enjoying those on my social medias. And if, of course, you don't follow me, you know, you see all my handles below, so follow me there. And of course, if there's anything on here that resonates with you as I talk about it, you know, feel free to light up the comments, light up the chat, let me know how you feel and how you, you know, think about certain things going on in professional wrestling at this stage. Of course, we have virtual MZO Kiosk saying, I'm thankful and humble and honored to be a part of this broadcast at such an important point in the year. I'm glad you feel that way. It is a very important point in the year. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get into this news and gossip-ish. And this is, of course, where we talk about different news and different rumors that we've heard throughout the week in professional wrestling. And of course, we have to report on the Hall of Fame. Of course, the WWE Hall of Fame takes place every WrestleMania weekend. And of course, it's going to be airing live Friday, the Friday before WrestleMania night one. And the class of inductees are really incredible this year. Like, it's really, really great. The selections have not missed not once. Of course, they first announced that Paul Heyman will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which I feel like is absolutely incredible. This is something that I even wanted to happen because it's going to be in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is the city of Extreme Championship Wrestling. I figured what better place to induct him in the Hall of Fame at. And the idea that this is happening is just really great for him. And then, of course, for the female side of things, you have Bull Nakano, who is one of the most iconic women's wrestlers of all time. You know, like, I am so happy that this is happening, even in the resurgence of popularity that Japanese women's wrestling is getting to have. You have one of the icons of it being celebrated and inducted into the Hall of Fame. So that's really great for her. And then I'm also happy that she is still alive, you know, to get her flowers in that way. So I'm happy about that. Then we have the US Express, and these are two OG tag team members who are part of the famous Wyndham family, which of course included the late Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, and so many others. They're getting inducted into the Hall of Fame as well. And then you have Muhammad Ali, who is of course the greatest boxer of all time, getting inducted into, I guess you could say, the celebrity wing to a degree. But of course, we all know him as one of the greatest athletes to ever live. He's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame because he actually played a part, just like the US Express, in the very first WrestleMania. So it makes sense that this tag team and Muhammad Ali get to be inducted into the Hall of Fame after having such an amazing place in the very first Hall of Fame as we celebrate the 40th one. So it's really cool stuff that's getting to happen in this Hall of Fame, in this Hall of Fame class. But then they made a bigger announcement this week that Thunderbolt Patterson will be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Now, I will admit, this was a person that I was not as familiar with because, of course, you know, I'm 30 years old. I didn't start watching wrestling until the 90s. So there was a lot of wrestling that, of course, I had missed from back in the day. And I did not know about this man. And, you know, I saw it and I was just like, oh, this is great that he's getting inducted. But I don't exactly know, you know, who he is. So, of course, I did my research and a lot of people were saying, oh, well, he's definitely worth getting to know. And of course, he the history of him as a man that I've seen people post back and forth was just the fact that he was an advocate for equal pay and equal rights when it came to Black wrestlers and just other people as a whole. He was blacklisted from one of the most well-known promotions in the 1970s, partially due to ingrained racism in the business and so many other aspects as well. He was also credited for being a wrestler who originated the form of sounding like a Black Baptist Southern preacher in his promos, which you would probably sound familiar if you've ever heard Dusty Rhodes speak in a promo, or maybe superstar Billy Graham speak in a promo. Like, they sort of copied their style from Thunderbolt Patterson. And this was something that I did not know. But of course, if you go back in time and sort of watch the footage of him speaking, you can definitely pick it up from there. And he was born in Waterloo, Iowa in 1941. And he started his wrestling career in Kansas City, Missouri in 1964. And he worked with the legendary promoter Dory Funk Sr., who was, of course, the father of Terry Funk, who did pass away last year. So he worked in so many different territories like the NWA. And of course, he worked for Jim Crockett Promotions, of course, which became WCW. And he's just, you know, he was just one of those pioneers that definitely, you know, set the stage for so many wrestlers that we know today, like a Junkyard Dog, or like Carmelo Hayes, like, you know, a Coco Beware, and all the Black wrestlers that have risen above, you know, so many different things to have success in the wrestling business. So he is a part of the reason why, you know, why Black wrestlers are here in this stage. And I'm just so really glad that, you know, he's getting his flowers here now. And, you know, he is also another person who is still here to receive his flowers. So it's really great that that someone who stood on business for Black wrestling is, you know, getting their flowers while they can still smell them. So it's really great. And congratulations to him and the entire Hall of Fame class this year. And of course, there are certain rumors going around that another person might be inducted into the Hall of Fame in the form of Bray Wyatt. But we do have to wait and see because no other announcements have been made as of yet. But they've been really purposeful about making, you know, different announcements in different parts of the week. So we might just have to wait and see. But yeah, this Hall of Fame class is really, really great. So congratulations to all of the inductees this year. Also in the news, hilariously enough, John Cena, someone who is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer in his future, appeared at the Oscars as a presenter for Best Costuming or Best Costume Design. And Jimmy Kimmel was the host of the Oscars this year. And since John Cena is really leaning heavily into his comedic acting sort of thing that he's doing with all these different movies and, of course, with Peacemaker and stuff, he's been doing all kinds of funny, goofy things. And this past Sunday on the Oscars, he presented the award for Best Costume Design naked. And in the speech, he was talking about the importance of costumers and costume designers, you know, and how without those workers in movies, you really don't have, you know, standout, you know, performances and standout characters. And this is funny for someone who was in a lot of high profile movies, just like Barbie last year. You know, he had really cool, you know, a really cool merman costume. He was a mermaid Ken. So it's just like he was able to talk about that while being naked. And it was just really hilarious. And what's even more hilarious is you had more wrestling personalities at the Oscars this year with The Rock, with Bad Bunny, of course, the rapper, and you had Nikki Garcia, who is, of course, famously one of John Cena's exes. Like, it was just really interesting how all of this happened, and a lot of people had a lot of things to say about him being naked. Some felt like it was really funny. Others felt like he was doing too much, or maybe he was trying to sell out for money. But quite honestly, John Cena has been making tons of money for years now. So I don't think money is really the issue. I feel like him is just, he's just being, you know, comedic and artistically, you know, hilarious. And all of this, you know, has been to promote his movie. I forgot the name of it, but I think it's Ricky Stenicki or something like that. And it's a really comedic film. So I think that he's just pushing the envelope with just being a goofy, funny guy. And that's just what's going on. I'll never forget the first time I saw him. Well, not the first time I saw him, but there was this one time when he was in this movie called The Marine. A lot of wrestling fans might remember this. And he played this Marine who was going on this journey to save his wife. And he was, you know, he would be in a lot of different things with his shirt off. And he looked really hot back then. So, I mean, watching John Cena be shirtless is never something that I'm going to turn down at this point. But, you know, that was years ago. This is now. And he can always say that he made history by being at the Oscars and being naked on stage. So, and then it was also the 60th anniversary of the time there was a naked man who streaked on the Oscar stage. So, you know, it made sense. But, you know, either way, it was funny and I enjoyed it. So, yeah. Another important part of the news is the fact that SummerSlam has now been announced to be in Cleveland at the Cleveland Browns Stadium. And this was announced by Mr. Logan Paul on his podcast, Impulsive. And he was really happy to make this announcement, seeing as, of course, he is from Cleveland, Ohio, even though he likes to claim so many other places because he's rich and he could just go all over the world and stuff like that. And of course, he is the US champion. So essentially what it felt like was that they were like in the news, they were putting pictures of his face alongside Cleveland and stuff like that. And as if, you know, he's just a premier guy and everything. And I am really excited because a part of me was wondering, like, when were they going to announce where SummerSlam was going to be? Because normally, you know, they would have made these announcements by now, but I guess they're being a little bit more purposeful with announcing where certain events are going to be, because they do have the Bash in Berlin that's taking place this summer. They have Backlash happening in France. They have
Money in the Bank happening in Canada. There's just so many events happening. So I was just wondering, when are we going to know where SummerSlam is going to be? And now we know it's going to be in Cleveland. And I think that's really cool. Even though there were some people online who felt a little bit slighted or felt a little bit weird about it being in Cleveland, because they were like, oh, well, what's to do in Cleveland, you know, besides the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or why are we doing it there, and so many other things. And something that's, and I feel like that sort of frustrates me to a degree, because yeah, wrestling events do happen in bigger cities and cooler cities that do have a lot going on, and that is a part of the appeal. But I also feel like there are tons of wrestling fans in underserved cities that might not have gotten an opportunity like this before, you know, that finally get an opportunity like this, and they shouldn't be robbed just because you feel like their city isn't cool enough for you. I mean, I just feel like that's a little bit self-centered to a degree, to be like, oh, well, this city doesn't have enough to offer for me, so the pay-per-view shouldn't be there. I feel like that's a little bit rude, and I feel like that's a little bit gross, because by all accounts, and I've talked about this on this show before, Birmingham, Alabama should have had a pay-per-view by now, because it's been over 25 years since then. So to people with those opinions like that, I mean, do you feel like a city like my city shouldn't have one just because it doesn't have all this stuff that wants to pull you in as a tourist? Like, I feel like that's just a little bit self-centered. And I also feel like people who say stuff like that might live in areas that actually might have a whole lot more. And on top of that, they get so many events at a time that it's just kind of like, you know, nothing to them. So I feel like, you know, before you diss other people's cities where they live, maybe you should just think about the fact that another wrestling audience is getting served with something that they might not have ever had before, and that maybe it's not all about you. And that's really all I have to say about that. So big ups to Cleveland. It's cool. They're having SummerSlam, and, you know, I hope that they enjoy it, and I hope all who's going will probably enjoy it too. So it's going to be cool. And yeah, this is a stadium. Like, that looks pretty huge, you know, for a SummerSlam. That looks like WrestleMania levels of huge. So you just never know what's going to happen there. And, you know, big ups to Logan Paul for making that announcement. And also big ups to every other WWE wrestler who's from Cleveland who gets to be a part of that, like Johnny Gargano and The Miz. And also Vic Joseph, who is the commentator for NXT, but is such a huge Cleveland Browns fan. You know, they get to participate. He gets to participate in that as well. So I think that's really awesome. Also in the news, you have RVD, who really hasn't been featured on AEW, you know, prominently, you know, here lately, but he was asked, you know, by a fan on Twitter if he would ever consider making an appearance for WWE, and he responded, sure, even though a lot of people might have taken it in a joking manner. You know, he still might, you know, have the opportunity to make an appearance with WWE, but then at the same time, he's been featured more prominently in AEW over the past, you know, 6 months and stuff like that. So, you know, you just never know where he might pop up. But considering he is a WWE Hall of Famer at this point, it would make a lot of more sense if he did make more WWE appearances. But ultimately, it's up to him and what he wants to do. But either way, wherever we see RVD, I'm never going to question it, and I'm never going to be angry about it. So yeah, because he was definitely one of my faves back in the day. I loved him so much, and I still love the One of a Kind theme song. I feel like that theme song is like top 20, like in the top 20 wrestling theme songs of all time, One of a Kind is definitely up there. Like, seriously. So big ups to him. And of course, our news and gossipish segment wouldn't be complete if we didn't end with Miss Ma'am Mercedes Moné. Of course, she has been making all kinds of waves since she made her AEW debut this past Wednesday on Dynamite's special episode called Big Business. And when it comes to big business, you can't have it without the big CEO, Mercedes herself. And of course, me being a huge Mercedes Moné fan, I was so thrilled to see her back on my television screen and back to hitting people in the head and wrestling and just serving looks, all of the above. Like, I have just missed her so much since her injury last year. So the fact that she is back now on wrestling television is just such a beautiful thing. But she is in news and gossipish for a reason. And it's not just because, you know, she looked awesome. It's because of the fact that it's been rumored that she is now the highest paid women's wrestler in all of professional wrestling. So there was a rumor that someone apparently backstage in either in WWE or AEW that noted that they were hearing that the number was enough to make her the highest paid woman in pro wrestling, and that they were thrilled at AEW for making the offer and happy for her to have accepted it, because in the long run, it means it's a better market for the top women's wrestlers, noting, "I think it sets a standard that women should be paid too. And that the women do great numbers and have huge social followings," and also said that it was a huge deal for women in the industry who are paid a lot less than men. And honestly, I love this if this is the case, because everywhere you see Mercedes Moné, eyes are gonna follow it. I believe it was reported that socially across all networks, she's gotten close to 8 million views, if it hasn't grown in the past few days when it comes to her debut in AEW. And it's just, wherever she goes, people are going to watch her because she's enthralling, because she's beautiful, and because she's the Beyonce of professional wrestling. And she's not even just the Beyonce just because of, you know, her look or because she looks like a rich woman. It's because of the fact that she is the greatest women's wrestler living right now. The quality of her matches are amazing. She adapts to every performer that she's in the ring with. This woman is just incredible, and all eyes are always going to be on her. She is proving her worth. And there were also so many different rumors talking about how WWE might not have wanted to pay her that much. And of course, that is just speculation, that is alleged. But my thing is, for a woman who is such a talented actress, rapper, wrestler, and all of the above, who brings so many eyes to your product, why wouldn't you want to pay her that much? Why wouldn't you want to pay her on the same level that you would pay a Becky Lynch or a Charlotte Flair, if that's even the case? Not pitting any of those women against each other, but, you know, it's just the truth. She is an absolute draw no matter where she goes. When she fought in her match at Battle in the Valley against Kairi Sane for the IWGP Women's title, those tickets sold out almost immediately. You can't deny the fact that this woman, this Black woman, is an absolute draw wherever she goes. And if she is the highest paid women's wrestler at this point, then I say more power to her. Gather your coins, queen, and continue to raise the bar for how women should be treated in wrestling. Because she stated in her promo that she wants to start a global revolution, and she is in the right place to do it. Because when it comes to AEW, everybody and their mama, you know, is associated with them when it comes to CMLL, when it comes to, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Stardom, all the things, they're all attached. And I can't wait to see who else she's going to fight later on when it comes to all of the, you know, matches and the Forbidden Door of it all. I just cannot wait for any of it. So I am not mad at her for that deal. And hey, it's about time. It's seriously about time. Simon Dean in the comments saying, "Hey, hey, hey, hey." And Eric saying, "Hey, queen, and make that money, money." Absolutely. So that's all for news and gossipish. And now we're going to move to what I liked in wrestling this week. And it was a lot that happened in wrestling that I really, really loved, that I wanted to get into on the show, or just things that I haven't had a chance to really go into on my own since it's happened. So here we go. On Raw, I really loved the Liv Morgan Becky Lynch match. Now, of course, Liv Morgan has gotten into it with Becky Lynch because Liv has been going on her revenge tour since she's gotten back, and she wants to get back at Rhea Ripley, who put her out of commission for 6 months to where she couldn't wrestle and stuff. And now she's recovered from that injury and she's come back. And when I tell you this match was one of the best matches on the entire Raw card, it just was. It simply just was. Becky and Liv bring out something in each other that I just cannot even begin to put into words. This match was amazing. And I would dare say, it was on the level of their match that they had that they had at day one, 2 years ago. And that's something that Michael Cole kept reiterating. It's the fact that these women had not fought in 2 years, but you almost would not have known it with the quality of match that they had. They did absolutely amazing. You had Becky doing her standard stuff, but then you also had Liv sort of countering a lot of the stuff that she was doing, especially doing sort of like a flip, well, kind of like a cartwheel on the apron and then turning it into a power bomb to Becky Lynch on the floor. It was just amazing stuff. So I definitely recommend that you go back and watch it. And though Becky Lynch won and Liv low-key wanted to show her some respect and Nia Jax ruined it by attacking them, you know, where it stands between them is just the fact that they respect each other and that Liv had to just let her know, like, this isn't all about you. You are not the only person who wants to get their piece of flesh and, you know, prove that they deserve to be on top. And Becky does have a tendency to center herself as a main character when it comes to stuff like that. But Liv really showed and proved that, look, I can be that girl too. So this match was absolutely amazing, and I definitely recommend that you go back and watch it. And then before I go into the next segment for the women, let me just say that I am very excited that Becky and Nia Jax are going to be fighting in a last woman standing match on Raw. Even though a lot of people feel like, oh, well, she shouldn't be doing it this close to WrestleMania because she, of course, has her match with Rhea Ripley set in stone for Philadelphia. I still feel like Becky Lynch in a last woman standing match is just chef's kiss, because her versus Charlotte Flair at Evolution in a last woman standing match was fantastic. So I can't wait to see what those women do. I'm really excited about that. So this was a part of Raw that highly disturbed me on a level that I cannot explain. So there was this tag team match between Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell and Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile. And here lately, Maxine Dupri has been getting lots of ire on social media because, of course, she's just sort of getting her bearings as a professional wrestler. Because when she came in, she was just a manager and she wasn't really wrestling like that. And a lot of people have been pointing out some mistakes that she's been making on social media, you know, as she's growing as a wrestler. But the thing is, you know, she was getting booed and stuff and people were rallying behind her and defending her. So they decided to sprinkle that into the storyline on Raw by having Candice LeRae scream at her and yell at her and say, this is why people are booing you. This is why people don't take you seriously. What? Are you scared of me? And then she took it completely left field and started talking about how Maxine's brother would be ashamed. You better be glad that he's dead so he can't see how much of a joke you are. And this made Maxine just sort of run away and sort of cower away and cry. And it was just really disturbing. But at the same time, you know, it's something that you can come to expect from wrestling. Is that sometimes wrestling takes the personal and intermingles it with kayfabe. And I did look this information up, and it is true that Maxine Dupri did have a brother who sadly passed away in a car accident years ago. And it is really a devastating story if you were to go and look it up yourself and read it. It's really sad. But the fact that Candice took this turn and really ran with it really just gagged the crap out of me, because since she's been called up to the main roster, she really has been sort of in the middle as a face, even though she did have her heel theme song from NXT. She's been really like a face. So now she's really leaning heavily into the negativity, and she really went off on Maxine Dupri. And then last week, she went off on Maxine Dupri backstage as well. So this didn't just come out of nowhere, but it's just the idea that she went that far that really just gagged the crap out of me. I was like, God dang, Candace, did you have to be that mean to her? And this caused her team to lose the match. So, oh my God, it was just really crazy. And a lot of people have feelings about it on social media, but I feel like whenever stuff like this happens, wrestling fans are always going to be split down the middle as to whether personal stuff should or should not be used in wrestling. But hey, I mean, you could argue that it doesn't have a place because it's just very, you could argue that it's very tasteless. But at the same time, you could also argue that there is so much in wrestling that us fans know about that actually happened, that if they included in television, that it wouldn't be the worst thing. And honestly, they couldn't use it unless all parties were okay. So yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, I hope Maxine rises above this and maybe challenges her to a match. But I really feel that Candace might tear her apart bit by bit because she's the more experienced wrestler. But yeah, it was just really crazy. Another favorite part of Raw that I had this week was Jey Uso coming out and challenging Jimmy Uso to a match at WrestleMania because he is frustrated and upset at the fact that Jimmy cost him his Intercontinental Championship match against Gunther last week. And I was very upset about that too because Jey really could have won his first singles title ever. Like, that really could have been the most amazing thing for him, considering this is his first time really being on his own and breaking out and being such a huge star. So the fact that he wasn't able to win due to Jimmy's interference here again, like he did at SummerSlam last year in his match against Roman Reigns, was just so freaking frustrating. So I'm really happy that he finally just said, look, since you don't want me to succeed and you don't want me to do anything without the family or without you, let's fight. And I am so glad that this is happening. I am so happy that he challenged him. And of course, when we get to SmackDown, we'll talk a little bit more about what Jimmy had to say to him. But I'm so happy that he did challenge him. Also, I love that Jey Uso brought in Travis Scott. He brought in Travis Scott to be a part of Raw with him as well. And I just love that more and more people in popular culture and in the music culture are embracing wrestling more and more. I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. And it's just great. So yeah, they were in Houston, Texas, and that's where Travis Scott is from. So that just made all the sense in the world. I'm still praying for the day that Megan Thee Stallion or Beyonce shows up on a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown. Or even Cardi B. But, you know, we just got to wait and see. Another part of Raw that I really loved was Cody Rhodes in his interview with Michael Cole. I feel like since Michael Cole gets a lot of credit for his commentary work, not a lot of people, you know, really go into his work as a journalist that can sit down and have a good interview with you. And Michael Cole really can do that. He's definitely a man of different hats when it comes to his journalistic work. And he definitely deserves all the respect and the flowers that he's been getting over these past few years. And when he retires, I will cry. I will cry because he's basically been the voice of my childhood. And I will just be like, no, Michael, don't go. But either way, you know, his interview with Cody Rhodes was really great and it was very heartfelt. Of course, Cody was talking about, you know, the importance of him finishing the story and him standing on business when it came to slapping The Rock back in his face, because, of course, The Rock slapped him at that special WrestleMania event that they had in Las Vegas. And it's just the fact that he was talking about how much it really got to him that The Rock proceeded to talk about his family members in that way. And how finishing the story is just much deeper than that. And how he wants to be able to give that title to his mom because he can't give it to his dad because his mom is really the only parent that he has left. And that was where his voice started cracking up and he started crying. And that really got to me because that's a very real situation. Cody, I feel like in all of the fall-to-roll and the glitz and the glamour that WrestleMania has going on for itself, we're tending to forget the fact that Cody just wants to win this championship to avenge his dad, who didn't officially win it for himself. And it's just the fact that he worked himself all around the indies and everywhere else to get to this type of opportunity for himself. And you have all these people standing in his way, and you have Roman and all of his family standing in his way. And all he wants to do is win the title for the underdog and win the title for the honor of his royal family as well. And I really feel that, and I really like that. And I just felt the fact that he would at least be able to give it to his mom, to give it to his wife who believed in him when nobody else did, to even give it to his child. Like, that's really deep stuff. And the thing that I hated that I saw on social media was the fact that you had so many people saying, aren't y'all tired of him crying? Aren't y'all tired of him, you know, cracking up and all this other stuff? And I'm like, no. Because this is a man that's very much in touch with his emotions, okay? Let's not be toxic, and let's support healthy masculinity and support the fact that this man feels his feelings on a public platform and he's crying, okay? Yeah, I mean, you'd cry too if you wanted to achieve something for a parent who's no longer here with you. You would probably cry too, so stop it. Like, stop making fun of him for crying. Like, he's gonna cry. He's very emotional. Wrestling is a very emotional thing. So let him have his feelings. Please. Just let him have it. Okay? And I, for one, hopes that he does finish the story at night two of WrestleMania. I hope so. Because y'all know how I was present last year and that went completely left and I had to leave and it was just a whole mess. So I hope Cody does finish it this year. And then, finally, when it comes to Monday Night Raw, I loved the gauntlet match and how I loved the performance of Ricochet in particular in that match, because he had been gone for a minute and I had been missing him low key. So the fact that Ricochet was able to perform as high on the level that he was made me really happy. And I was sad that he got eliminated by Bronson Reed. However, the final two in the gauntlet match turned out to be Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. And I felt like this was such a conflicting moment for me, because Chad Gable lost his opportunity at the IC Championship on my birthday in front of his children. And his children were crying and stuff, and it was just all sad and everything. And I was just like, God dang, this is really sad, and I want him to have the opportunity. I want him to take it off him. But then when you have Sami Zayn, who's been sort of searching for his WrestleMania gateway, it was like two really big comets running into each other and only one of them could come out on top. And it really sucks that Chad Gable wasn't going to be able to do it when it came to Sami Zayn, because honestly, Sami sort of deserves to have this moment in a degree, because when you think about where he was at last year, he was entangled with the Bloodline and he destroyed the Bloodline, you know, piece by piece by, you know, taking the tag titles away with his friend Kevin Owens. And now for him to not have a place in WrestleMania just wouldn't have necessarily felt right, especially after all of the fall to Raw that he had when he did go up against, you know, Roman Reigns and how he lost in Canada and all of that. So it makes sense, but then at the same time, you feel sad for Chad Gable, who wanted to avenge his child crying, you know, in front of him. He wanted to win that for his family. And the fact that he doesn't get to do that at WrestleMania now just seriously sucks. So I don't know. Hopefully maybe they'll work it out to where maybe it'll be like a triple threat, or maybe, I don't know. But Sami, I don't want to say doesn't deserve the opportunity, because he does. But then I almost feel like Chad almost deserves it just a tad bit more. But it's just really conflicting. It's very conflicting. So that's really all that I liked on Monday Night Raw. So now we're going to shift over to NXT. So when it comes to Roxanne Perez, the Prodigy, she has gone bad. She has gone absolutely bad. She has gone Cruella DeVille on us. And she has just absolutely turned everybody on their head. She's been attacking Lyra Valkyria and everybody else due to the idea that she feels that the championship should be handed to her because she never officially lost the title. Which is kind of insane to think about when you really think about how last year, when it was coming up to Stand and Deliver time, she had to give up the title due to her passing out after facing Mako Satomura to retain her title. And then she had to fight for it in that ladder match in Los Angeles. And then she lost it that way. And then, you know, there have been so many NXT champions after that, like Indy Hartwell, and then Tiffany Stratton, and then Becky Lynch, and now Lyra Valkyria. And she feels like she's been robbed. And it's just really, you know, crazy how, you know, she's just been trying to get it back the right way, doing all the right things. But none of it seems to be working for her. So now she's gone bad. She's turned a new leaf. She is just darker now. And she feels like, you know, the title should just be handed to her at this point. But of course, you have Tatum Paxley, who likes to fight, you know, on behalf of Lyra Valkyria as their friend and everything. And now they've gotten into a fight, and now, you know, they have to fight each other, I believe, next week. But either way, it's just really interesting to watch someone who is such a natural babyface, who is just so naturally sweet, just turn angry and just sort of take that anger out on everybody, including Ava. Like, it's just really insane to watch this turn happen. But I'm really intrigued to see, you know, how much further she's going to take it, and if she is going to go on to win the NXT Women's Championship again. Because if not, I really feel that they really just need to call her up to the main roster, because she's done everything. And it's like she said in this promo, like, she is highly decorated when it comes to her time at NXT. She won the breakout tournament. She won the tag team titles. She won the women's championship. Like, she's done so many things. So I literally feel like at this point, if she doesn't win it at this time, they have to call her up and she needs to go crazy on a bunch of other women. That's just how I feel about the situation. But we just got to wait and see what's going to happen with that. Also in NXT, I learned a completely new concept that I had no idea about as a wrestling fan. So Gigi Dolin had a match with Ariana Grace, who is, of course, the beauty queen of NXT, kind of like your Miss America, Miss USA type of thing. And her and Gigi Dolin have gotten into it simply because Ariana just likes to be like, oh, let's not fight, let's act like ladies and all this other stuff. And Gigi is just like, girl, no, let's just fight and just get it over with. And there's like a clash between the two that's going to take place, you know, that took place in this match. And of course, if Gigi lost the match, she would have to undergo a makeover from Ariana Grace to make her more ladylike. And something that I learned from this match was the fact that you can get disqualified if you hit a low blow on a woman. I did not know that, because all of my wrestling life, I have only ever seen men hit low blows and get disqualified, because clearly men have extra equipment down there that can be seriously injured. Not to say that women don't, but I just did not know that you could get disqualified for hitting a woman in the hoo-ha. I just did not know that until Tuesday. And it was really comical the way that they played it out, because Ariana hit Gigi in the hoo-ha first. And then Gigi was so frustrated by it that she hit her back, and the referee just so happened to see her hit Ariana in her hoo-ha, which made her lose the match. So now she has to undergo a makeover. And it's just really crazy how that happened. But it's just, I feel like Ariana Grace is a character that I really enjoy. She is really funny to me, because it's just like, ma'am, you're a beauty queen and you're in a wrestling company trying to tell women not to wrestle and not to fight each other. That just doesn't work. That just doesn't work. It's just really hysterical to see her act this way. It's just really funny. And then the fact that it's a play on a gimmick that her father had as Santina Marella, it's just really funny. So for those who don't know, Ariana Grace's dad is Santino Marella, who was the Italian Cobra from a long time ago. And it's just really funny to see her be this goofy and also wrestle at the same time. Like, I just really love it. It's hysterical. And I feel bad for Gigi, because I just feel like she loses so many matches. And she was the person who I definitely had my eye on to sort of have her breakout moment after the end of Toxic Attraction. And she's been on her own, but she's been sort of just, you know, they gave her these packages where she was sort of, you know, being like this broken artist who was trying to find herself and sort of, you know, stand up for those who are outcasts and stuff like that. But since then, they haven't really given her a whole lot to chew on, or really you know, her character hasn't really explored anything new. So I'm hoping that somehow or another, in this aspect with this beauty queen thing, maybe, you know, she'll become something of a Miss Congeniality or something, and she'll get a microphone and be in a pageant and say something.
My God, I did it.
And if anyone tries to hurt one of my new friends, I would take them out. I would make them suffer so much that they'd wish they were never born. And if they ran, I would hunt them down.
So, yeah, I really feel like Gigi is going to have her Miss Congeniality moment. And it's going to be, I feel like it's either going to be really funny or it's just going to go horribly wrong. But either way, I'm here for it and I'm going to watch it. And honestly, trying to turn someone into a beauty queen is really hilarious, considering Gigi is a beautiful woman anyway. Like, look at this face. I know she's angry right now, but if you look at any other picture that she has, this woman is gorgeous. Gigi Dolin is a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. And I feel like anything extra that's added to her would just be like an enhancement. But anyway, that's just what's going on with her. Also, another part that I loved in NXT was just the fact that Thea Hale really herself. I really love that Thea Hale is being more of herself now and getting loose from the shackles of JC Jayne, because JC was trying to teach her how to be, in her estimation, a grown-ass woman, and now JC has just left her behind and just told her that she isn't cool the way that she is. And because she's trying so hard to act like JC, she lost the guy that she was interested in terms of Riley Osborne. But then she stood up for herself and said, look, like, I like myself, this is who I am, I like being, you know, Thea Hill from Chase U, and I just want to be me. And after, you know, her match, her tag team match with Fallon Henley, where she fought against Kiana James and Izzy Dame, she definitely, you know, went full Thea and started running around the ring like a crazy person, like a Tasmanian devil that she is. And I just love it. I just love it. The Theomanian devil is back, and I'm just definitely here for it. And I just want her to be herself and get her man, most importantly. Get your man, Thea, okay? Get that cute hunk of man that you have a crush on and go out on a date with him, because he likes you just the way you are. And I hope you figure that out so you guys can have your little date and your little moment, okay? Please. Fallon Henley is your real friend, and Riley Osborne is your man. Go get him, please. So that's just how I feel about that. And another thing I didn't really get to speak on when it first happened is just the fact that I am absolutely thrilled that Shawn Spears is back in NXT. I could not believe that he was the one with all the cryptic messages. Like, when he popped up and he said, and it was him with that chair, I was like, gagged. I was like, excuse me? Shawn? You're here? And then I was wondering what were we going to call him, because of course when he was in NXT the first time, he was the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger, and I loved the 10 gimmick. That was one of my favorite things. So I was just like, okay, so is he Ty? Is he Shawn? But then when they called him Shawn, I was like, okay, it's Shawn Spears. We're here in the present, and I like that. And he had his match with Ridge Holland, and yeah, that's pretty much how that went. Shawn Spears won, and that was cool. But just the idea that Shawn is back in WWE was just like, yo, what the heck? It just really gagged me, and I was just really happy about it. So welcome back to this side of things, and I hope you like it. So yeah. And that's his mask that he had on as he's carrying his chair, because, you know, he's the chairman. So there we go. And of course, this wouldn't be complete if I didn't address the fact that at NXT Stand and Deliver, Trick Williams has challenged Carmelo Hayes, and they are going to be fighting in Philadelphia. And I really need to reiterate the fact that this match, even though it is not for the NXT Championship, it needs to main event stand and deliver. And the reason why I say this needs to main event stand and deliver is because never in the entire history of a WrestleMania weekend have we had two Black men main event a pay-per-view or main event of WrestleMania at all. This is NXT's chance to do something absolutely historic. You have two of the biggest Black male superstars in NXT with a match against each other. And this is essentially like a brotherhood broken up match. Like, this is you were my best friend and now we're not friends anymore, let's fight type of vibes. And if this doesn't main event, then they will have missed an opportunity to make history. Of course, NXT has made history before because they did have Carmelo Hayes versus Wesley for the NXT Championship. And that main evented an NXT episode. Now it's the first time Black men ever main evented an NXT episode. And that was amazing. And of course, that was an all Black main event because you had Alicia Taylor. Of course, ring announcing. And then you had Dallas Irving as the referee. They knew what they were doing with that, and it was very purposeful, and I appreciated that on a very deep level. Like, with so many Black entertainers in wrestling now doing the dadgum thing, they need to main event at WrestleMania. They have to. They just have to, because this is a story that's essentially 3 to 4 years in the making. They started off together in NXT, and now they're going to clash. This has to main event stand and deliver. If it doesn't, then it is a huge mistake. It is a huge mistake if it doesn't. So, since this announcement has been made, of course, Trick Williams had a lot to say about Carmelo Hayes and the idea that he has to now fight someone who he once considered a brother. And he talked about how, you know, they're not even on the same level, and how Carmelo said on social media that, look, if you were trying to get on the same level as me, or it was just really insane what he said. He said that you would, with all the accomplishments that I've made, I would be standing above you and you would be looking at my shoelaces. And I was just like, God dang, like, they're just going tit for tat at each other on social media. And I just can't wait to see them have a face to face on the mic, because they're going to eat each other up. And I love it. But we're not just here to talk about the rivalry. After Trick Williams said what he said about Carmelo Hayes and challenged him to the match at Stand and Deliver, Metaphor came out there and put themselves in their business. And Noam Dar was like, look, I need to move on to bigger and better things now that I've lost the Heritage Cup. And maybe you and I need to fight each other and something like that. And Trick clearly wasn't in the mood for it. He was just like, look, like, you need to stay out of my business, dog, because I'm really not in the mood. But they kept trying to antagonize him. And Noam and Oro Mensa attacked him. And then he proceeded to kick their butt. And then Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson get in the ring. And this is where I'm freaking out, because I'm just like, first of all, what are you women going to do? What are y'all going to do to Trick Williams? Like, what? And then Trick grabs Lash, pulls her in, and kisses her like this is a romantic film. And I'm just like, what? I'm freaking out because y'all, I don't know if y'all know any of these rumors, but there have been so many rumors that these two are actually an item behind the scenes. They are a couple behind the scenes. And so the idea that they were kissing on screen was just a huge deal. And then before the kiss even happened, Trick was flirting with Lash and said, it looked like Lash got a thing for me. And he winked at her. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. But I didn't think it was going to go this far. They literally kissed on television, and I loved it, and I ate it up, because I am a romantic at heart, and I just love Black love. I feel like this is a segue for season 2 of Love and WWE to be centered on them. Love and WWE, Lash and Trick. Make it happen. Make it happen, powers that be, because this is just This was just the most delicious, one of the most delicious things I saw in wrestling this week, and I just can't get over it. I just cannot get over it. Trick was out here just getting his Mac on. He was just... Trick is a smooth operator, y'all. Shout out to Sade. Absolutely amazing stuff here. I enjoyed it. I just love love, and I love Black love. This was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I love it. So that was all I love from NXT. Now, AEW Big Business was Wednesday, and of course, because it was big business, it was absolutely alluded over the past couple of weeks that this was going to be the debut of a certain somebody that has to do with money. And the rumors were true. Sean Ross Sapp had it correct. Mercedes Moné signed with AEW. And when she popped out, she looked like a very rich woman, okay? She came out with the white and the gold. And I was just like, oh my God. I was freaking out. I was like, look at my girl. Look at my goat, honey. These sunglasses, the coat, the jewelry, the everything. Girl, my eyes, my eyes, my eyes. I was so happy to see her. Her wig was wigging. It had, oh my God, it had all Elite Moné on the back of it. I was just like, just give me everything. Give me everything I've been missing. Over these past few months, I've missed her so much. And the fact that now she's back under her own name, under her own brand, doing what she wants to do, possibly being the highest paid women's wrestler in all of wrestling right now. It's just, oh, you love to see it. You love to see it. Oh my God, it was so incredible. Her promo was fantastic. Like, everything she said about having the support of the wrestling fandom after these past 2 years and everything that has happened with her since the walkout was just very heartfelt. And then it was in Boston, which is the place she started her wrestling career. It was just really beautiful. And then she also talked about the fact that in that building she main evented, she was a part of the very first ever women's main event of a pay-per-view in terms of Hell in a Cell with Charlotte Flair. Even though she didn't say Charlotte Flair's name, she did allude to the fact that, you know, they main evented in that very building together. But she only mentioned herself in that aspect. But either way, you know, so much history. She has just been at the forefront of so much women's history in wrestling that it just made sense that it happened in Boston at that time and during this month. It's just, this woman just continues to raise the bar every time. I just love this woman so much. I love what she represents, and I hope that one day I can either meet her or interview her. Either way, you know, anything, if she ever decides to share the same space as me or breathe the same air as me, I'm grateful for it. But even if it doesn't happen and I'm only made to watch her from afar, I consider that a blessing too, because she is just the greatest women's wrestler that's ever lived. And I will argue that to the day I die. Literally, I will argue it. And yes, Malcolm, thank you for watching, saying Mercedes is going to be an impact in AEW. Definitely she is. She already is, because as you can see, in the main event for Big Business this past Wednesday was Willow Nightingale versus Rio. And of course, Willow has stated her intentions of trying to win the TBS championship from Julia Hart. And she has to work her way up with doing that. And of course, she defeated Riho, and that was her way of, you know, solidifying her place in being a possible challenger for the TBS title. But she wound up getting attacked by Julia Hart, the champion, and Sky Blue. And Mercedes came out to help her. And this surprised me, because Willow was the last person that Mercedes fought before her injury, because they fought for the New Japan Strong Women's title. And Willow wound up winning that match due to Mercedes, you know, finishing the match, but yet her having her injury. So the fact that she came out there to help her really caught me off guard, because she did mention her in her promo saying that she might have to watch her or like have some unfinished business with her. So I was like, oh, okay, so you're helping her. Cool. So yeah, it's just really intriguing stuff. And I'm really happy that this women's division now has Mercedes in this regard, because there are so many talented women, you know, there. You have Mercedes, you have Willow, you have Riho, you have Julia Sky, you have Trish Adore, you have Queen Aminata, you have Athena. Oh my God, there's just so many talented women there. And I just can't wait to see her interact with them. Like, I want to see a match between Mercedes and Thunder Rosa at some point too. Like, I feel like that would eat down as well. But either way, I'm just so happy that she's at AEW, and I'm just happy she's back on my television, because, oh my God, I just missed her so much. I just really did. And I just love this moment that she had with Riho as well, because of course Mercedes had her a little bit of a dabble in Japanese wrestling when it came to her time in New Japan and Stardom. So it was just really cool to see her have that moment with Riho. Maybe they'll have a match down the road. You never know. But either way, I'm just really pumped about it. I'm really pumped about her being in AEW. And of course she will be on this episode of Dynamite coming up Wednesday. So I can't wait to see what she has to say. Also, on Big Business, Bishop Khan was in a match. He was in a tag team match. And I'm sorry, I wish I had the picture of him when he came out in his his traditional Cameroon garb. But he looked absolutely amazing in it. And I just want to say that I feel like Bishop Khan is very attractive. He is a very gorgeous man. And I just really wanted to go on the record saying that, because I've never really said it before on this show. But while I was watching Big Business and he came out and I just saw him and I was like, yo, he's hot. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. And it made me sad that him and his partner lost that match against Chris Jericho and the FTW champion Hook. But hey, at least I got to see Bishop Khan. At least I got to see him. And that's all that matters. Here's hoping that there are bigger and better things for him, and also just bigger and better things for Black wrestlers in AEW as a whole that aren't really large signings and stuff like that. Because, yeah, just bigger and better things, please. Your Black wrestlers are not just your enhancement talent, okay? So just give them bigger things. And finally, in the world of SmackDown, I love that Bayley and Dakota Kai was the main event tonight. This match was pretty good for the most part from what I did see of it. And I love that Naomi, you know, came out to sort of be a support system for Bayley when she was getting attacked, as, you know, there was a disqualification there. But then, of course, they got beat up. And what's so funny is they were in Memphis, Tennessee, and they were chanting for Bianca Belair, chanting EST, EST. And we didn't see her on this episode because, of course, Bianca said, look, Bayley was giving me all kinds of hell. So this is her bed and she's got to lay in it and I don't care. And she said that to Naomi last week. But Naomi didn't listen. And she was like, look, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to help her out because she needs help. But Bianca, I guess, still doesn't want to really get involved in it because she just doesn't feel sorry for her. So, I mean, I don't know. But either way, I'm hoping that Bayley can somehow or another find herself a team to even up the odds so she doesn't have to fight all four of these women by herself. Otherwise, you know, she'll be too busted and broken and she won't make it to WrestleMania to fight Io Sky. It's just not fair that all these women that she only wanted the best for just turned on her out of nowhere. It just really sucks. But not out of nowhere, but it just really sucks that this is happening to her. So either way, you know, I'm hoping that Bayley gets her a good little army to fight for her. Jeffrey in the comments saying billion bucks Mercedes, saying Bianca will be dragged in it soon enough with Jade and Naomi. But here's the thing, though. If she is dragged into it, I mean, it won't be, you know, the worst thing in the world. Plus, if you get Jade and Naomi, you know, you could have somebody who wants to challenge Asuka and Kairi for those tag titles. And wouldn't that be a powerful team, right? Jade and Naomi, or Bianca and Naomi, or Bianca and Jade. Either way, I feel like it would be amazing. It would be really great. And then Asuka was limping too. Yeah, I don't know about that. I didn't see that happen. Not saying it didn't happen, but I didn't see her limping. But either way, I'm just hoping that Bayley just gets her a team soon, because everybody and their mama in damage control is just jumping on her, and it's just not fair. You hate to see it. Another thing that I loved in SmackDown was Jimmy Uso giving an answer to Jey Uso's challenge from Raw. He wants to fight him, and I am so glad that he wants to fight him, because historically there has just been, I believe, someone on Twitter, and I had the screenshot and I forgot to do the thing with it, but apparently someone on Twitter noticed that every 15 years there is a WrestleMania match involving brothers. The first one being Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, the second one being Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy at WrestleMania 25, and this one, which is going to be at WrestleMania 40. And the fact that that has happened every 15 years is a very interesting concept to think about, and I'm really grateful for that person on Twitter who tweeted that, because oh my god, that's really amazing. Like, brother versus brother matches really eat down, and the fact that this is the first, you know, the first one with brothers of color that we're getting is just going to be really amazing too. We're really getting Jimmy versus Jey, and I'm really pumped about that. And of course, Jimmy, you know, decided to talk about how last year they won the tag, they defended the tag titles together. And now, of course, they're fighting each other. It's just really deep stuff. And then he ended his promo by saying yeet. And I thought that was interesting. I thought that maybe Solo or Paul Heyman was going to run behind him and say, no yeet, or the tribal chief says no yeet. But he said yeet, and he got in the camera looking this intense. I was like, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are here, and I am so excited. This WrestleMania is going to be lit. Jeffrey in the comments saying Taker versus Kane 2 times, LOL. I mean, yeah, but we're talking about blood brothers. In the case of blood brothers is what I mean. But yes, The Undertaker and Kane do technically count as brothers, because yeah, they did fight each other 2 times at Mania. But yes, we are getting Jimmy versus Jey. Just so y'all know, I'm team yeet. I am team Jey, and it's going to be cool either way. I'm so excited that we are getting this. It's going to be cool. And then, of course, another thing that I loved about SmackDown / didn't really like, but it's just the fact that we got Hollywood Rock singing again in Memphis, Tennessee, and I just couldn't believe it. Now, just to paint a picture for what type of wrestling fan I was when I was a child. When the first iteration of Hollywood Rock was going on, I hated it, because I just never liked a heel Rock. I like the Rock that you can cheer for, okay? Because I'm a baby face. So anytime the Rock was face, I was here for it. Anytime he was heel, I wasn't here for it. So it's just him being Hollywood Rock the first time just irritated me. He was just bum rushing people, being mad, disrespectful, and trashing cities and stuff like that. I was just like, bro, why you gotta act like this? And then I hated the fact that he had a slower version of his theme song, and it just irritated me. And then my dad really liked it, and I really hated it. And I was just like, oh my god, stop it. And so he brought all of these things that I did not like about his Hollywood Rock character back tonight, and I just wanted, and I almost walked out the room when it happened. I said, you've got to be kidding me. No, this is my worst nightmare. Not saying that I hated it, because I really enjoyed it. It was really funny. But from a childhood standpoint, I was like, this version of The Rock was not my favorite. It was not my favorite. And then he was out there singing with these other two musicians and stuff. And then the fact that the War and Treaty were out there, that Grammy nominated group was out there too, was just really funny too. And it was just hysterical. And I was just like, oh my God, he is really out here singing the way that he used to sing back in the day. Except this time he wasn't playing the guitar and he had other people playing instruments for him. I was just like, no. And Jeffrey in the comments saying he marked out when the theme came back. I did not. I was just like, come on, man. But I did laugh. I did laugh, and I did enjoy it. And then I equally enjoyed the fact that he said, you're not going to have any choice but to say you're welcome. And I was just like, how dare you turn the theme, the song from Moana into an evil song? How dare you? How dare you make that an evil song? I don't like it. I can't believe you. But, you know, The Rock is just having the time of his life at this point. And it's just hysterical. So this is where we're at in the today of things. And it's just, I'm just going to enjoy this ride as much as I can. But this just gave me flashbacks to my childhood and how much I just really did not like him as a heel back in the day. I hated it, but you know, it's just funny. And The Rock, I just hope he just never changes. But also, let me just say, don't talk about Cody Rhodes' mama. Please don't talk about his mama. Like, because I feel like that is a good way to get your ass whooped. And I'm sorry I just cursed, but it's just like, I just know what would have happened if you had talked about my mama. If you talk about my mama, I'm going to hurt you. I'm definitely going to hurt you. Like, no. Speak of my mother in any negative concept and you're going to get beat up. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. No. So I'm really going to need for Cody and The Rock to actually have a good little standoff fight thing, because you just don't talk about somebody's mama. And then it was already bad enough that you talked about his daddy, you know, in a bad way. But you talk about his mama? Oh, no. It's over with now. I'm sorry. You can't talk about neither one of my parents. I will hurt you. And in the comments, we have Marks with Mics watching from Twitter. Hey! And they're saying the final boss Rock is unhinged. Those are fighting words talking about somebody's mama. You ain't never lied. They really are fighting words. Like, I will know. Jeffrey saying, what did Pharaoh and Mama Rose do? LOL. They didn't do nothing. They didn't do nothing but exist. And I really feel like if you're attached to Cody Rhodes in any way, he's just going to come for you regardless. Pharaoh did nothing but be a cute little puppy. Well, he's not a little puppy, but he's a big dog. But either way, he's cute. He's like the cutest dog in the world. He did nothing but be a cute dog, and his mom did nothing but be a really great mom, okay? So they didn't do anything. But either way, this version of The Rock is just completely unhinged and hilarious at the same time. And I'm going to need for him to come back down to Birmingham so we can give him a hug. And considering the UFL season is about to start in a few weeks, hopefully we'll see him and hopefully he'll get a good Southern hug. And a good Southern blanket and some good Southern food so he can just relax, because it's just crazy. Marks with Mike saying they catching stray bullets by association. That's essentially what's going on. So yeah, that's all I loved from SmackDown. And honestly, tonight I was watching AEW Rampage, and I just have to say, Deonna Purrazzo came out here in the cutest and most comfortable outfit on the planet as the virtuosa. She had on these white shoes and these black kind of sweatpants with a white stripe. And then she had on her crop top, and she looked so cute. Deonna is one of the most fashionable and most beautiful women in all of wrestling, and she should be respected as such. Also, Toni Storm tapped out. So by all accounts, Deonna Purrazzo should be our AEW Women's World Champion at this point. So I hope at some point she does get a rematch, so we can get her versus Mercedes somehow. But either way, she looked fabulous on this episode of Rampage. And of course, her tag team partner was revealed to be Thunder Rosa. So they will be fighting Mariah May and Toni Storm, I believe, Wednesday. And if it's not Wednesday, it's tomorrow. But either way, they're doing a tag team match, and I'm really excited. But I just had to just take some time to talk about Deonna Purrazzo's fashion, because her stuff is usually really cute and comfortable. And I just, and this was definitely in the cute and comfortable stage right here. So that's all that I liked in wrestling this week. And of course, we're going to move on to talk about other things that I have going on in my wrestling world. So thank you guys so much for watching this episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. All 23 of you. Thank you guys so much for watching. I know it's late wherever you are, but thank you guys so much for tuning in. Of course, if you are needing any person to commentate for your wrestling events or a panelist for a Comic-Con or anything else like that, or a writer for a thing, for a wrestling thing or site or something like that, you can book me by emailing me at HardyWrestlingPodcast@gmail.com or DMing me on Instagram or Twitter at Queen Steph Hardy. Those are all the things that I've been available and feature on so far. So if you guys are seeking to book an electrifying and cool voice, please book your girl, book your girl, book your girl. I am open for any and all bookings and rates and stuff like that. So if you want to talk about that, we definitely can do it. In the comments, Dro Davidian, thank you for watching, saying, I feel like Cody will dethrone Roman at Mania. Me too. Jeffrey saying, appreciate you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you too. And Virtual saying, you are such a champion. Thank you so much. So book your girl for things. Also, if you haven't already, check out Steph and Cat Talk WoW, the best WoW superheroes post show on the planet with me and Katrina Blake of In Cat We Trust. We get together every Wednesday, unless otherwise stated, to talk about the hottest all-women's wrestling television show, WoW Superheroes. And of course, check out our new interview with Crush, aka Candy Crush, that just posted today. We were happy to talk to her for Women's History Month, and Katrina had to fill in for me because I was at work. So please check that interview out, and we will have more content to share for Women's History Month as well. And check out all of our other interviews that we have with the Tonga Twins, Jesse Jones, Foxy Fierce, The Beast, and Keita Rush. We did all those for Black History Month. So please check out all of our interviews for Steph and Cat Talk WoW and all of the episodes for Steph and Cat Talk WoW. And please watch the show so you can come back and watch our post show and hear what we have to say about the girls doing their thing over there as well. So also, watch my newest episode, my collaboration episode for Women's History Month with Janelle from the HR from Jobberteers podcast, as we talked about women's rivalries of the Attitude Era. She and I got together last week and we talked about Jazz versus Trish Stratus, which is pictured there, and we talked about Chyna versus Ivory. So please check out that episode if you haven't already. And of course, next week we will be doing our act two of talking about women's rivalries for Women's History Month by talking about the Four Horsewomen. That's right. We will be talking about Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair and Mercedes Moné / Sasha Banks versus Bayley. So I am really excited that me and Janelle were able to put our brilliant Virgo brains together to talk about women's rivalries during Women's History Month. So be on the lookout for those episodes and watch them or listen to them if you see fit on both of our platforms for Hardy Wrestling Podcast and the Jobberteers Podcast. And I thank you guys so much for your flyers and for the visuals that you guys have made for these episodes. Thank you to Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black for those. And I'm just really grateful to have your support in all things wrestling related. I love you guys so much. So yeah, watch those episodes if you haven't already. We got into it. And that was a piece of what we got into. But either way, just thank you guys so much for being supportive of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast as I continue to grow this brand / baby network. I do have a website in the works, so hopefully that will get started. And of course, you can buy my merchandise at foryourwear.com/ Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and just continue to support the vibe, support the channel, subscribe, like, and share anytime you see me sharing any clips, and just continue to just support me as a Black woman in media, because I am still trying to find my voice in this crazy world. So, and also read my articles from Daily DDT. Yeah, that was another thing that I think I forgot to mention. Read all of my articles for Daily DDT. I am working on something new, so please be on the lookout for that. So, of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. And until next time, I hope you guys are enjoying all of what wrestling has to offer over these past couple of months and everything that's been happening. And I'm going to try to be more consistent with these episodes as well as my other content as well. And I just hope that you guys are just out there taking care of yourselves and doing what you can, because the world is crazy. So I'm just hoping that you guys are just being the light in a dark situation and and choosing to just be positive, because you got to keep your head up. So until next time, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. Bye, y'all.